Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The following program has been pre-recorded. Thanks for tuning in this weekend to Let's Talk Portland, Odyssey Portland's weekly public affairs program. I'm Gary Bloxham. On the show this time, I'd like to welcome Alicia Sullivan. Alicia is the executive director of the Willamette Light Brigade, which puts on a cool festival that's coming up called the Portland Winter Light Festival. Hello, Alicia. Welcome to Let's Talk Portland.
Hi there. Thanks for having me.
Sure. So let's get started today by talking about your nonprofit, which is the Willamette Light Brigade. What is that?
So the Willamette Light Brigade is a local nonprofit. We were established actually in the mid 80s with a mission of lighting the bridges of Portland. And at the time that meant at all. And, you know, in order to enhance those landmarks and create a sense of civic pride.
And what do you mean by lighting the bridges? That doesn't mean like the streetlights.
Yeah. So the bridges mostly have architectural lighting now, but back then they did not all. So our group has been advocating for lighting the bridges and making it so you can see those landmarks at night for many, many years. And we also run the color lighting on the Morrison Bridge that you see when you cross.
Okay. Yeah, I see that all the time.
Yeah.
And those colors are determined by something that's happening in and around Portland, right?
That's right. The public can light the bridge, actually, with colors of their choosing. The bridge colors, the lights on the bridge are color-changing LEDs, so they can be changed for any number of different events. And community groups often change the colors to raise awareness about various things, medical awareness campaigns, events, special anniversaries, and things of that nature.
Very cool. Now, are you responsible for the lighting on the Tillicum crossing?
No, the Tillicum is different, actually. That is a public art installation. So okay. That is always lit as an art piece and does not change. It changes with the tide, I understand,
right,
but it
okay.
doesn't change manually.
Besides the Willamette, besides the Morrison Bridge, which other bridges have lights on them that you guys control?
Well, we have been, our group of volunteers has been advocating for lighting in general. So a lot of the architectural lighting that you see is because of that group. The Selwood has lights on it, the Hawthorne Bridge and others. And we're working to do more of this kind of work. We really want to see all the bridges lit up. Yeah. Over time.
Are we up to 12 bridges now?
I think something
11,
like
11
that.
Or 12. I think yeah. with Tillicum, it's now 12. Wow.
Yeah.
What about the planning for the new Burnside Bridge? Are you guys involved in that?
We are advocating for lighting on that project as well. We would really, really like to see dynamic color changing lights. And we're at the very early stages of a pretty ambitious project to do a comprehensive bridge lighting plan. Really early. And so we're working on that too.
Yeah. The new Burnside Bridge is a ways away. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
We're talking today with Alicia Sullivan. She's the executive director of the Willamette Light Brigade. And we hinted at this festival that you guys have coming up very soon. It's called the Portland Winter Light Festival. Tell me about that.
Well, the Portland Winter Light Festival, started 10 years ago. So the Willamette Light Brigade had existed, kind of took on this zeitgeist moment with a lot of artists, volunteers, and visionaries in the community, and founded the Light Festival. And this year, we are celebrating our 10th anniversary. We open on February 7th. The event runs from the 7th through the 15th. We've got major live events concentrated on those two weekends, the 7th and 8th and the 14th and 15th, but there's lots of art. It is a light-based art festival. And so we will be filling Portland with light-based sculptures of all types.
This sounds exciting. Is it mostly in and around downtown?
A lot of it is in and around downtown in the central city on both sides of the river. But there are pop-up art installations throughout in most of the major business districts in Portland, out in the neighborhoods as well. But a lot of it will be downtown this year. We're really excited to bring some fun and positivity down there and remind Portlanders of what a good time they can have in our central city.
Yeah. How many pieces of light art will there be?
Oh, well, we're saying over 220.
Wow.
And yeah, there's a lot. Some of those are art installations that we have curated and coordinated. Some of them are art installations that people apply and ask to have included. And then others are community activations that our community partners, such as small businesses, neighborhood associations, have decided to put up in order to kind of hop on the momentum of the festival.
Can you give us some examples of what we're going to see?
Oh, yes. Okay, we have so much. And like I said, there's 220, so it's right. Kind of hard to know where to start. But we have what we call anchor sites. So we have three major anchor sites, and those are located at Pioneer Courthouse Square, the World Trade Center, and what we call the Electric Blocks in Inner Southeast, 2nd and Clay.
Okay.
So those three anchor sites are a great place to start. There will be multiple art installations at each site. Lots and lots of interactive art, pieces that are digitally created, incredible art. We have an artist named Leandro who's coming in from Brazil to do a piece at the World Trade Center. It's going to be this kind of cascading light piece up on a piece of scaffolding. It'll be gorgeous. We have a piece called Parastella, also at the World Trade Center by artist Christopher Chart. He's an internationally known artist. It's a suspended, light-changing, kind of a butterfly shape. So people will be able to look up and see this incredible large-scale piece there. In addition to that, we have a lot of art at Pioneer Courthouse Square, starting with an opening show on February 7th. We will have what I'm kind of calling Easter eggs. There's going to be extra art throughout the city in order to celebrate the 10th anniversary. In the Ankeny Alley and Old Town area, we're going to have a large scale piece called the Nautilus, which we had in our festival last year. There will be our Mechan 42 robot at Central Library. And we have a piece by an artist from Brooklyn named Jason Peters that is going in on top of a building on Southwest Taylor. So people will be able to explore and see some larger scale pieces in addition to many, many pop-up art installations in windows and, storefront retail that people can check out.
So a variety of sizes, not just big stuff and not just small stuff, kind of everything in between. And kind of sounds like every corner downtown is going to have something going on.
Almost. Yeah, it's something around 180 art installations in the downtown area. So that's really exciting. We are really committed to having an opportunity for artists who've never shown before, to exhibit their work next to internationally known artists. People can apply and have done so. And so there's a really broad array of work. And I would be remiss if I didn't also mention a couple other pieces.
Please do.
Fire Breathing Dragon.
Nice.
By popular demand, folks may remember we had a Fire Breathing Dragon on the Southeast waterfront a number of years ago. Ivan McLean is making a different, larger dragon. It will be a metal scaled, gorgeous 17-foot tall fire breathing dragon at Salmon Springs Fountain, breathing fire on those weekend nights, but it will be up through mid-March. And then we have some large scale projections this year that are really exciting. We have projections at the electric blocks. There will be building projection mapping there. And then new this year, we have a giant projection that will be at Pioneer Square. We are very, very excited about.
So
and
cool.
They'll have different artists all four nights. So people should come out.
Are these art installations, are they all electric or are there other sources of energy that they use?
That's a good question. We have a number of pieces that, there are fire art installations. So some of them are powered by fire or propane. Some of them are powered by humans. We have, I think, a piece that, you know, you ride a bike and it brings the electricity. So lots of explorations.
Cool. We're talking today with Alicia Sullivan and the Portland Winter Light Festival, which is coming up starting on February 7th through the 15th. Is that right?
That's right.
And it's your 10th anniversary. So tell me how this art thing has happened over the last decade. Tell me how it's evolved.
Oh, that's a wonderful question. So it started with a number of people, including our founders, Chris Herring, who is our creative director still, and Jeff Schnabel, who is a PSU architecture professor, sort of came together with the Willamette Light Brigade, the nonprofit. And there was this zeitgeist moment 10 years ago, lots and lots of artists in Portland. The art festivals and the light festivals in Europe were starting to gain prominence, but not many places had started light festivals here in the U.S. So these folks had seen these festivals in Europe and thought, hey, let's do this here for Portland. And Portland, you know, there were a lot of artists out and working at that time. And since then, it's just grown and grown. You know, we had around 30,000 people, I think, in year one. We were just down in Southeast at the waterfront, and it was just an experiment of artists and volunteers. And it's grown so, so much over the years. Through the pandemic, you know, we were very lucky in 2020. We had our event just a few weeks before COVID came to the U.S. at all. Yeah. And we were talking about it in the office. Like, I remember being like, something's going on.
Yeah,
you know, good thing not happening here yet or whatever. So we got very lucky with timing, but it became clear to us that we had really outgrown that space and we needed to be seated more in the central city. So we made a big strategic move to do that. And since then, we've been able to connect with a much wider audience and engage and provide this kind of cultural and economic stimulation through foot traffic and audience to a wider variety of businesses and locations. So it's been really incredible to watch the momentum build. And, you know, we have a long way to go. We're still a young event in the scheme of things.
Yeah. The Portland Winter Light Festival happens in and around downtown Portland. And, you know, downtown has not had the best reputation over the last few years. So how have you guys helped kind of revitalize downtown?
Well, we are really committed to the idea that art and creativity can, and levity and play, honestly, and fun can really, really help with these types of issues. You know, since day one, invigorating Portland in the winter has always been part of our mission with the festival. And that's obviously become more important than ever. But, you know, if it's just about making an opportunity for people to come and have fun and play. And I think that art can help us process and heal through the last handful of years really, really well. It's such an incredible tool. And there's a huge appetite for this type of art in the community now. People are used to what we do and they know that it's a good time. Often they know people who are involved or making an art installation. So we're really committed to that invigoration and levity and play.
Yeah. I'm guessing it's not an accident that the Portland Winter Light Festival happens in February.
No, it's very strategic. Yeah, it's absolutely intentional. And it is, the word winter is in our name for a reason. It is totally worth coming out. Even if it's not very nice out, it's absolutely what it's all about. But yeah, there aren't very many opportunities for events. There aren't very many events in February at all. So we're kind of the first big event that takes place in Portland at the beginning of the new year.
And the festival is happening starting Friday, February 7th, going through the 15th. And I'm guessing it probably starts at dark or just after dark, most things.
Yep. Yep. And believe it or not, sun sets around 6 p.m. at this time of year, even though, you know, it feels early and it's still early right now. But around 6 p.m., the event goes from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. on those Friday and Saturdays. And then many art installations are on during those hours throughout the week as well. And that's, of course, all on our website.
So tell me some of the ways the festival supports community partnerships with local businesses and organizations, because that's probably really important for you guys.
Yeah, it is. We have over 70 community partners this year, which is incredible. And those are non-sponsor participants. So that means that, you know, architecture firms who want to do something creative and playful come out and they make an art installation. And, you know, other times it means that a small business does an art installation in their window, or we find an artist to place in their window. They stay open later. They gather together in, you know, in the business districts and put together a whole bunch of installations. So it's really important for us to highlight the creativity that is living and thriving in Portland. And it's all those people that make that up.
Why do you think this light festival resonates so well with Portland people? We're a bunch of artists around here, kind of, aren't we? Or art lovers, anyway.
So. Yeah, we are. It seems like we identify here as creatives, and people always want to have a way to participate. This festival is really an open door to experiencing art, maybe for the first time. It's free. You don't have to pay for an entry. You can go and decide whether or not you like something and go and have a good experience and have fun. And I think that's one of the things. Also, people seem to love to participate and dress up. You know, it's really the audience that makes the event so meaningful. People wear, you know, their light up gear and they bring their neighbors and their friends and they walk around. And I think also people are kind of ready for something at this time of year. They want to go have some fun.
Yeah, definitely. January and February can be a bit rough around here. Mm-hmm. How late does the festival go at night?
It goes until 10.
Okay.
But this year we have another new thing. We have our pop-up bar. It's called the Glow Bar. It's going to be at 111 Southwest Columbia, right off the Hawthorne Bridge downtown. And it will go until midnight. So there'll be art installations indoors there. Beverages, music, lots of fun to be had. And that's 21 and over after 8 p.m., but that will go a little later. So if you go around wandering, the festival closes down at 10, you can still pop over to the bar. Another fun thing is that we are partnering with Dumpling Week this year. So go out and eat dumplings at one of the Dumpling Week restaurants, wander and look at art, and then pop into the bar. It's about the perfect evening.
Yeah, that sounds pretty awesome. So the bar is indoors, but most of the light installations are outside. Is that right?
Yeah, nearly everything else is outdoors. It's all about bundling up and coming out and seeing art in public spaces. So definitely pull the Gore-Tex out of your closet and get ready to bundle.
We're talking today with Alicia Sullivan. She's the executive director with the Willamette Light Brigade, which is putting on the Portland Winter Light Festival starting on February 7th. Tell me what goes into creating this sort of festival. There's got to be a lot to it.
Oh, my goodness. Yes. We work year round on this. We often joke that if we had an 18-month year, that would be better. but our team works really hard to pull it together. Coordinating all the art, curating art, having an open call and making selections. We also have a call for venues. So venues come to us and say, hey, we want to put a piece in the window. And so our team kind of tetrises art installations and available spaces throughout the entire city. We often also joke that we never do anything off the shelf. So There's no formula, you know, nothing's in straight lines. Everything is especially made and made with an artistic lens. So it's really, really unusual. You know, we're not an event in a tent somewhere that has lots of events. We're really unlike anything else. So our team works hard, and they are to be absolutely commended right now. We're in the thick of finalizing all the details. And there are a lot of moving parts. So I feel very honored to get to be part of it.
If somebody wants to put in a light art installation on, say, right on the Esplanade, where does that electricity come from if they need to plug in? Are there outlets hidden everywhere all over the city?
Oh, I wish there should be. To whoever's listening that gets to choose that, there should be outlets all over for people to plug in. No, you know, we have to coordinate it. So like a piece on the waterfront, you know, we have to pull power from all over the place. Yeah, it takes a lot of coordination. People, various owners are responsible for all the property all around the waterfront, obviously. And then, you know, downtown as well. So, yeah, we're just pulling power wherever we can, and our presenting sponsor actually is PGE, and they provide an offset, so all of the power used at the festival is renewable.
Oh, that's awesome! That's very cool. It's very Portland too.
Yes, it is.
So I'm guessing it's a little too late to be an artist in this year's festival, but if somebody wants to do it maybe next year, what is that process?
Yes, absolutely. It is way too late. And thank you for knowing that.
Well, we're a week out. And yeah, it's a little late.
I know. A week away. But yeah, we usually put our call out in the summer. So when people are not ready to think about the winter is when we really need to know what people want to do and if they're interested in getting involved. The best way is to get on our mailing list, and you receive all of those calls for art, calls for venues, performance and participation in all different ways.
Cool. What about volunteer opportunities and or sponsorship opportunities?
Absolutely. It's never too late to volunteer or sponsor. That is one thing we are working towards. Right now, we really, really need volunteers, especially on February 14th. We have open volunteer shifts on our website, and people can go and bring a friend, sign up. We've got an exciting new partnership, too. So if you complete volunteer shifts, you will be entered to win 2 tickets on Alaska Airlines.
Nice.
So anywhere Alaska flies, you'll be able to win. So, and the details will be on our website shortly. But volunteers are absolutely needed, and you can also make a donation. There is a link to do that. This is a completely free event. We present it freely to the public, but it is absolutely not free to produce in any way. And donations are really, really needed, and they make a huge difference.
What will volunteers be doing?
Volunteers get to do all sorts of things. Ranges from helping out with the artwork, you know, making sure people know where to go, spending time at the information booth. We have people who help with our survey and crowd counting teams. We have folks who help gather donations on site as well from folks who are enjoying the festival. So lots of fun. It's always a good time. And there are always, you know, lots of people to meet and hang out with at the event when you volunteer.
Yeah. So you said 220 installations all over pretty much downtown Portland for a week.
Yep, all over though. We have installations in St. John's. We have installations in the Willamette Vancouver Business District, out in Lentz. So lots all over, a heavy concentration in the central city though.
And some international artists and lots of local artists, I'm guessing too.
That's right. Lots of local talent. We really want to, you know, we just take this opportunity to showcase local artists. And those range from, you know, artists like Ivan McLean or Tyler Fuqua, who have international recognition and show all over the world, to community groups that apply and want to be in and have never shown before, or people who, you know, tinker and make art on the weekends. So lots of variation.
Cool. We've got about a minute left. Alicia, how about you give us all the details we need to know about the Portland Winter Light Festival?
Well, the most important thing to do is to check our website, pdxwlf.com, for times and schedules. And then note that the main live events are the 7th and 8th and the 14th and 15th between 6 and 10 p.m. Check out the Glowbar. There are other things that happen throughout the week, though. So do take a look. We have a brand new interactive map that you can filter by date and location. And come on out, bundle up, and bring your friends.
Are all the pieces going to be out all at once starting on Friday the 7th?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Excellent. Give the website one more time.
PDXWLF.com.
Perfect. We've been talking today with Alicia Sullivan, Executive Director with the Willamette Light Brigade, putting on the Portland Winter Light Festival starting on February 7th in Portland. Thanks, Alicia. This is great.
Thanks for having me.
If you'd like to hear this interview again, just search for Let's Talk Portland on the Odyssey app. Let's Talk Portland is an Odyssey Portland public affairs program.